Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 111. That's 11 past 100. So we are rolling on for the next, what do they call it? Centennial?
I don't know. You lost me.
Every 100 is a centennial.
Mm.
So we're going for working to number, centennial number. Working to get to 200. So here we are at 111. Welcome back. And let's kick it on off, Miss Morgan. We don't have Miss Holly here. We don't have Justin here.
No.
Just
nope.
You
just
and
us.
Just us in the THT studio in room one.
Yeah. So today's theme, you know, we all have complicated lives, we have stressful lives. And it's all about finding the ways to deal with these complicated lives we all have. So we've got a variety of issues today that just might need a little puzzle piecing together.
Did you do a write-in too?
I should have. Oh, man.
As you can look at Morgan, she's a little stressed today.
I look disheveled. We're going on tour and I haven't packed yet. I mean, we got four shows this weekend, four shows, 3 days. I haven't packed. I, of course, am moving into our new house and construction is not fun. My floors might need to be redone. So it's just been a day. So I myself have a complicated little life. We're all in it together. But let's get into these and see what we can, say.
I'm ready.
Okay, so up first, hey Dad, Morgan, Justin, and Holly. I'm writing in because I don't know how to address the issue that I, 25 female, am having with my girlfriend, 26 female. We have been together for 2 years, and we're on the fence about having kids until our nephew was born in April of 2023. To say we fell in love would be an understatement, and it quickly led us to realizing we wanted a child or two of our own. At first, we had agreed that I would carry the first and she would carry our second. The issue was that I had a regular period since high school, but we tracked my ovulation and persevered anyways. For almost a year now, we have tried it, but I went to a specialist and was officially diagnosed with PCOS and prediabetes because of it. We had to regroup and came to the decision she would try first, while I put in the work to get my PCOS symptoms under control and essentially heal my body. Since then, I've changed my diet and am exercising regularly, but still have yet to have a period without assistance from drugs. My doctor, however, also told me there is a chance I'm facing infertility. The idea of that is absolutely devastating. I had always dreamed of experiencing the beauty of pregnancy and bringing life into the world for myself, only to have that possibility potentially ripped away. Since the news, I cry about it almost daily. I don't know how to come to terms with the potential of infertility, and at the same time, I'm grieving over it as well. This is where the issue lies, because my girlfriend fails to see why I would be upset. She comforts me, but openly admits she doesn't understand why I am sad. She says she doesn't have my issues and can still have a baby, so I can experience pregnancy through her. I told her it isn't the same because it isn't my body. But I can never explain my side properly so she understands. Our talks have left me in tears and her thinking I don't want her to carry our baby because I'm being selfish. How can I explain to her that while I would be overjoyed for her to have our baby, I'm still so upset about the potential I may not be able to have that experience as well? Any advice would be appreciated on how to address this, as well as any advice you have on how to make myself okay with the possibility of being infertile. Thank you so much. You are all wonderful, and I have not missed an episode.
Wow, this is a real interesting one because there's there are different dynamics that we're going through. So obviously, I am not an expert, nor do I have any thing to relate to as being a woman not being able to carry a child. I can certainly relate to as a man to raising children that are biologically not mine, nor to the fact that I carry the child. I just have a question you might be able to answer me with your background. Isn't it possible that they can harvest her egg without her having a period? Can't they go into her ovaries and take eggs?
Yes, but I think her main issue is not being able to carry a pregnancy herself.
I got that part.
Yes.
But I'm asking just for...
Yeah, there's a lot of options they could be pursuing.
So I understand you might not be able to carry the child and go through that feeling within your body of having the baby grow within you. But there might be some compromise here that it's your egg that she carries, that she gets the in vitro, and you guys can be tied together that way also and have this experience on a little different, you know, path. I mean, there are many ways to get there. At the end of the day, I've raised three kids. And I can tell you that it doesn't matter where they came from. They ended up on my doorstep, for lack of a better description. And I love them no differently that they would be been mine biologically. I mean, I can fight with them daily. I can enjoy them daily. I love them daily. And all the emotion that goes with it and passion that goes with being a parent. Trust me, I am not shortchanged, but it's all there. This is as much as it's the moon in size to you today. There are some days we can look at the moon and it's so big, it overwhelms our vision. It's so close to Earth. And there are other days that the moon is so far away. And that is the way that I'm going to tell you what it is with child rearing and experiencing. So I hope that will help you a little bit. And I get all your feelings, but this is not even the full chapter. This is just the prologue to your life before you even get into chapter one, once you have your child and you start raising your family and your children. So I wish you lots of luck and love. And I hope this does shine a little insight. I'm sure, Morgan, you have some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you've only been trying for a year. You're only 25. I mean, it takes some people years and years to get pregnant. I mean, anywhere from 1 year to 10 years of trying. Are you going to have issues? Yes. Are there a variety of things to try that you haven't yet? Also, yes. I know, you know, I myself am dealing with PCOS and prediabetes. I went on Ozempic to help with my prediabetes. I was inching towards being a diabetic, and that was so terrifying for me. So I started tracking my glucose. I went on Ozempic. It helped. My labs got regular. And that was only 3 months of doing Ozempic. And so there's so many things you could try. You could try a variety of medications. I know, you know, a lot of people with PCOS are saying they got pregnant on Ozempic. I know people have said Mucinex helped them get pregnant. There's so many things, and you're healing your body. It's going to take time for your hormones and everything to regulate. Having, you know, getting pregnant, it's not like that. For some people, they're fertile fuckers. I don't know, but it's gonna take time. So I don't think you should be losing hope, especially considering you haven't tried everything yet. And it's sad. And, you know, the conversation with your girlfriend, I'm kind of confused how she doesn't understand why you'd be sad. I don't know, you know, maybe just empathy-wise, it's not clicking for her. But maybe reframe it. How would you feel if you found out you're infertile and you can't carry our baby either? How would you feel? Because she hasn't tried yet. She could be as well. You don't know. And so reframe it. How would you feel if you were told you wouldn't be able to have children? It's disheartening. It's sad. It's scary.
I get all that.
I really think, you know, some therapy could be great for you, you know, dealing with these issues and trying to come to terms with the struggles you're going to face, but it wouldn't give up hope. There are so many options you can try, and you just got to keep persevering. There's so many stories of women out there that have struggled with, you know, infertility, and they have kids. So don't lose hope. You will find something that works for you. And if you don't, you will still have children. You will love them all the same, and it'll all work out.
I will tell you, in all honesty, you that I get what you're feeling. I get what you're going through. But at the end of the day, once the show shows up, trust me, you get the full, you get all three scenes.
I don't know if that's necessarily true though. Like, for someone who's a woman mm-hmm. and has the ability to have kids, like, you obviously, you're a guy. That was never a part of the equation for you. Being a woman and having that potential to have a child, it's different. Whether the kid is yours biologically or not, I don't think that matters to her. I think if she took her partner's egg and was still pregnant, I think it's for her, it's losing that experience of being pregnant.
I understand that.
So it's just, it's going to take time. And I think therapy could be really good.
Okay.
Okay, moving along. Hi guys, longtime listener, looking for some helpful dad advice. Me and my boyfriend, both 19, have been together for almost 4 years. This past year, we moved away to the same city, different schools and housing though, for college. And while in the beginning, I was very anxious, I think our relationship has only gotten better after moving. He is not the issue here. His mom is. Ever since the beginning of our relationship, she has hated me without any particular explanation. The rest of his family is very close with me. I take his grandma to the movies. His brother comes on family vacations and dinners with my family. They are all very great. However, she has always blown me off, talked badly about me behind my back and to my face, and will convince his younger brother to refer to me as, quote, that girl, instead of by my name, when they think I don't hear. It is very hurtful, obviously. And as someone who grew up with toxic, rude family members, I refused to put up with it when I had autonomy. This has been going on for years, and I've taken the grin and bear it mentality for a long time. But it has only gotten worse since going to school. Going back to our hometown fills me with anxiety, knowing how I will be treated when I go to see them and knowing the restrictions she will put on him to be around me and my family. It came to a head this Christmas Eve when she berated him to go home and leave my family's Christmas party just so he could sit at home with her and do nothing, even though we have always spent Christmas Eve with my family. I cried the whole night of my favorite holiday and wondered when her needless hating of me would end. At this point, I've just wondered if it's worth it to continue the relationship, even if I know he is a phenomenal person outside of his family issue. Over the years, he has tried to stick up for me, but she always deflects and calls me dramatic, saying I don't understand her humor, which I don't buy. In my opinion, I feel it has gotten worse because I seem like a symbol of him growing up and aging out of her control, which she does not like. I just want to know how I should move forward with my relationship with him and with his mom.
Well, the one thing you said in the last story is counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously that this woman does not have the ability of allowing her son to grow and be his own man.
Mm-hmm.
That's clear. The question is, does he have the maturity and the ability of escaping it? And in some parental children relationships, it's really tough. And I get it, but reality is you got to grow up. He's got to be his own man. And if she is trying to fight that, there's a battle going on that has nothing to do with you, only with the fact that you are the person that's blocking her ability of keeping control. And she sees you as the enemy because you have his attention and she doesn't. So you have two choices. I mean, one, yes, he can go for counseling. The mother will probably never join in for counseling. as far as she's concerned, she's not wrong. She is his mother. She gets to do whatever the hell she wants. And you do have to make a decision. If you feel that he is not ever going to grow up and be able to go through the separation, then you need to do it for him by removing him from your life. So either you go to him and say, either you're going to remove her from our life, or I'm going to remove her from our life. And unfortunately, if you're on board with her, then obviously you're off my ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like declaring war, which is sad, but you also have to have your own life. I have a kind of a half sister, or, you know, we grew up in separate homes, but we were such close neighbors as neighbors that we called each other brother and sister. And Andrea got married to a guy, and there was no doubt that this guy was tied to his mother. And she felt that she was married in a marriage that with a guy that couldn't get away from it, that she was a part of every day of their daily existence. Mm-hmm. And after about, it went 10 years or thereabouts.
Oh my God, so long.
That she finally divorced the guy, and she says, I just can't do it anymore. And even though they lived cross country part of the time and whatever, still couldn't escape that woman.
Yeah. I mean, when children are enmeshed with a parent, it can be very toxic. It can be exhausting. It can be overwhelming. And you really don't have a partner because your partner is obligated to someone else first. Mom's needs come first. You know, you're getting put on the back burner in a lot of cases. And I think the example here with Christmas Eve is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
How long will this continue? When will he put his foot down? When will this stop? When he's 20? He's already out of the house. He's already an adult going to college. You know, it could be difficult because she might be financially helping him with school.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's still financially tied to her. But you have to ask yourself, when is he going to cut the umbilical cord? When is he going to draw a boundary and say, you know what, Mom? No, Christmas Eve is spent with so-and-so's family. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm really excited for tomorrow with you. She's going to get upset. She's going to be unhappy. She's going to ask, what happened to our relationship? We were so close. It's not going to be good initially, but you have to go through it. There's no growth without a little bit of growing pains.
Let me say this. Not every mother and not every father have this issue with their kids.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that, look, you met a guy, you fell in love, and you have your relationship with him. I don't get in that way.
Yeah.
I totally stay out of that way. I grew up in a household that my mother would definitely stay out of everyone's way. She accepted whoever you brought over, and she said, hey, welcome, be a part of the family. And she respected whoever we walked in the door with. My father, hey, he was a different
different guy. Story.
He was a different guy. He had control, or thought he wanted control, on everybody's life and relationship. Unfortunately, he passed away young, so he died to allow us to escape that control, which is sad to say. It took that mm-hmm. to be able to gain our own control. Even though we all demanded it, and we were wouldn't allow him to have that control, which only put him in a tailspin. But that was his issue. And when it comes to this woman, that's her issue.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to acknowledge it and recognize it and just say, I love you, but this isn't the way it's going to be. And if you need some assistance, Mom, go get some counseling, because I'm not going to allow this.
Yeah. I mean, we do have a little bit more info that I'll read. My boyfriend was adopted during middle childhood after being in the system. So this is technically his adopted mother. He has been through a lot as a child, but remains one of the brightest people I know. However, I will say, because of what he has been through, that he doesn't. However, I will say that because of what he has been through, then he does not always recognize the horrible things she says and does as abusive, because anything is better than what he went through. He was a very quiet person and would serve people in any way as long as he got to be alone after. And I feel like him growing up and being more bubbly and less of a pushover is contributing to this. So,
And so I can see where he feels, if he's mean, that they, after she gave him a home and gave him love, that he might have some guilt. But it, the same thing, if it was his biological mom, he would certainly stand up and say, you know, this is just unacceptable. So
Either way,
he has to be able to talk to her and let her know that he loves her and he, all this, but this isn't going to work. There isn't room for two women for the same position. You're my mom. This is the woman who I'm going to have my my love affair from the rest of my life with. And I hope that we can all respect that and you don't feel any less love for me, but we have to put it in channel. Either way, the mom, stepmom, foster mom, adoptive mom, biological mom, they all have to, all these moms have to understand one thing. We're mom, we're mm-hmm. not mate. And there's a difference.
Yeah. And that can be hard. You don't know what her relationship status is. He could have been a surrogate partner. I mean, it is hard, but love should be not conditional. Mm-hmm. And so he needs to have a conversation with her. And if you have a conversation with him and nothing changes, then yeah, you need to ask yourself, is this what I want for my future, my life, my partner? Mm-hmm. Because it might not change. And you can't evaluate a future based on potential. You need to evaluate based on exactly what's in front of you, what he's willing to do, what he's willing to say, and go from there. It's not easy. You know, I've had partners in the past where my relationship with their moms was amazing. They loved me. And I've also had partners in the past where it just was brisk. It wasn't great. And so you're going to have a different dynamic each person, but your partner can still set guidelines and boundaries of what's acceptable and not. And if you have someone that's unwilling to do that, it for sure isn't going to change. It has no chance of getting better.
I think as I'm sitting here thinking, I go, all parents have to have security within themselves and the relationship.
Absolutely.
And the love they have. If they start getting into a competition with their offspring's mate or their parents, and you know, the fact that you're spending more time with that family's mother and father than you're spending with us, and it becomes this competition, this insecurity. That all is a flag that there is some assistance that is needed and some action that has to take place.
Yeah, definitely. Keep us posted. One of this week's partners is Lumi. I can feel myself sweating after reading all of these stories today. They got me heated, but I'm not worried about going out now and being stinky because I put my Lumi deodorant on. I can confidently say Lumi works better than any deodorant I have ever tried. They say it works up to 72 hours, and it does. I can go to a workout class, sweat for 60 minutes, and still go to dinner and know I don't stink. And it doesn't matter which one it is. I love my toasted coconut. That's kind of my signature. But the lavender is a close second. It's so refreshing. It gives spa, clean girl energy. And I love that you can use Lumi everywhere. Lumi is also baking soda and paraben free, and it was designed by an OBGYN, so you can feel good wherever you're putting it. If you're ready to try it for yourself, Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes. Get the wipes! And free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code FKS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code FKS. Link is also in the description. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I need some help navigating a bad relationship with my father-in-law. My husband and I have been together going on 9 years, married for 5, and we have one child. Big issues really have come to a head in the last 6 months as we were renovating our home and were offered a place to stay with my in-laws during the process. The moment we moved in, it was clear that my father-in-law was not thrilled to have me there. I work from home and my child is not in daycare. So if my husband had to work during the day, I would be left at his parents' house to work and watch our toddler. The kicker is that my father-in-law made it clear I was not to work in the dining room or on the covered porch outside, or on the back deck, or the spare room on the main floor. The only acceptable place was our bedroom upstairs, which is hard to accommodate when also caring for an energetic toddler. My father-in-law is retired and home all day, but no childcare assistance was ever offered. We moved in and offered to do the grocery shopping and pay, as well as cook meals for all of us, to which I was told, quote, "We don't need to coordinate and do meals together," which I found difficult working full-time and then sharing a kitchen. I even found somewhere else to do our laundry, so I wasn't using their machine. After about 2 weeks into our stay, my sister-in-law, married to my significant other's brother, came to me, letting me know our father-in-law has been complaining about me, and showed me text messages he sent to her, complaining that, quote, "he's always circling around a daughter-in-law in his house," as well as thanking her for, quote, "getting me out of his house on days where I would pack up and work at her place." This is in addition to tolerating his behavior of slamming every door and cupboard in the house all day long and being passive aggressive to me during the day while I work and take care of the toddler. At this point, I tried to make myself scarce. I would get done with work, pack up my kid, and get takeout to have a picnic at the park and stay as long as we could until it was close enough to my kid's bedtime. Once my baby was asleep, I would stay upstairs in our room as to not intrude on my in-laws' time in the main living area. So most of my day was spent in our bedroom, working and staying out of the way. It got to the point where my father-in-law would barely even acknowledge my existence. I would come home and say hello to him, and he would only say hello to my kid or my husband, but never me. I finally decided we were going to do whatever we could to afford a rental for a few months. We moved out of my in-laws, and upon leaving, I thanked him for having us and giving us a place to stay, to which he started laughing and nothing else. So I just walked out. We ended up staying with my sister-in-law for a few nights before our rental was ready, and my father-in-law texted her, quote, "good luck," in reference to us spending a couple of nights. Once we were out, my father-in-law and mother-in-law started telling my husband's siblings that, quote, "I'm keeping my husband and child from them because I don't like his dad," while not taking any accountability for how I'd been treated. It's also important to note I told my husband he can see them whenever he likes, but he never wanted to see them due to everything mentioned above. I've been no contact with them for over 4 months now, and I'm wondering how long this can last. I've asked my husband to stick up for me and call them out, but he says it won't change their behavior and will just make things worse. I'm fine being no contact, and I know they will continue to talk about me and make me out to be the bad guy. But what do I tell my son as he gets older and I'm not around when they come over? Do I suck it up and continue seeing them and pretend nothing happened? My family lives over 400 miles away, so I don't have much support there. My ideal outcome would be advice on whether I should confront them on their behavior towards me or if I should just ignore it. And if you think it's realistic if I can go no contact while still making space for my husband and son to have a relationship with them if they want it. We do have a little bit of additional info I think I'm just going to read. In the past, I know that my father-in-law and mother-in-law and husband's sister used to make fun of me behind my back that I would touch and rub on my pregnant belly too much while I was pregnant. My mother-in-law would call me a mean girl for not always inviting my sister-in-law to hang out, commenting on having dark circles under my eyes, making fun of me for being vegan. The list goes on and on.
I think the answer is easy. They have taken the choice to alienate you. My answer is your husband recognizes this, and if he finds it acceptable and he wants to have that relationship with him, go for it. But you don't have to put yourself in the middle of this stuff and try to go appease them and to play their game. It's dumb. And I'm sorry that they're assholes, because that's clearly what it is. They're not giving you any respect at all. And the fact that you actually said that, hey, we moved out of there, I was waiting just to say, get out of there as fast as you can.
Yeah, and they did that. They got out.
So I really think that you have everything on, and you're a jewel in this whole thing. I mean, I'm only hearing your side of the story. But the reality is, I believe everything you said to be exactly the way it is. So considering that these are the facts, you do not push yourself down their throat. You don't have to appease anything. You can go literally that they don't exist, because that's the relationship they want. They don't want even you to exist, and that it's your child. It's your life. It's your home. I hope that your husband has enough respect to say, this is our home, and I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to tolerate this. Mom and Dad, you guys got your head up your asses, and, you know, I'm going to take my wife, I'm going to take my child, and we're going to go live either a block away, or we're going to live 400 miles away or 5,000 miles away. You are not part of our interest, because you clearly did not show respect when you had the opportunity.
The problem is he is unwilling to say something. And that's the problem I have with this. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have an in-law problem, 100%. They are rude. They are disrespectful. They don't like you for whatever reason. I don't know. It's bullshit. But your bigger problem is your husband. You have someone that is unwilling to call out their parents' bad behavior, unwilling to set boundaries, unwilling to demand a basic level of respect. So he's letting you get treated this way. If he were to say something, do you think they would continue to act like this? If he said to them, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, I love you, but this is my partner, the mother of my son, and you don't treat her very well. And until you can change your behavior, I don't want a relationship with you right now.
Well, didn't he say that it's not going to help to go say something to them?
Yes.
Okay. So my answer is that if he realizes that, he needs to take his own, he doesn't have to go back to them. He already knows from past experiences that these people are.
But he hasn't tried to set a boundary. He just said, I'm not even going to bother because it won't help. It'll make it worse. How do you know if you have not tried?
What happens if experience has told him this? Let's assume for a second, my answer is going to get there. My answer really is he can just go point blank side with her and not even communicate with them and let them figure it out and say, what's going on? And then he can then say, look, you absolutely was unforgivable, your behavior. And if that's going to be your behavior, I don't need you to be a part of my family's life, because you're not showing the respect to my wife and your grandchild's mother. And that's where I was going.
I think that's fine. The problem is he is still having a relationship with them. He hasn't gone no contact. He hasn't cut them off. And so by doing that, he's essentially saying, your behavior towards my wife is okay. Your behavior towards the mother of my child is okay. She's going to make herself small for you guys. She's going to disappear when you come over. She's going to rule herself out of the equation. That to me is not okay.
That's unacceptable.
You guys are the family unit. So yes, do you have an in-law problem? For sure. They're not great. But you have a husband problem. You have a partner that is unwilling to stand by you, his family unit. That's my problem with this.
And I agree.
I've started to realize on a lot of these stories, yeah, your in-laws are crazy and they suck. And, you know, not just Father Knows, but Reddit too. But when you have a partner that is unwilling to stick up for you, you have a lot bigger issues than just your in-laws.
I agree.
And so this is tough. I really think you need to sit down with him and say, I shouldn't have to make myself small. I shouldn't have to disappear. That's unacceptable. You leaving your house when they come over to see your kid? Fuck no. You stay. If they treat you bad, bye. This is my house. You had to put up with it when you stayed with them. You went above and beyond trying to accommodate your father-in-law, who is just a nut. But at your home, absolutely the fuck not. Your husband needs to step up and he needs to say something to his parents.
I fully agree with that.
It's bullshit.
I fully agree with that.
Like, it's crazy. You guys are together and he chose you for a reason. That little one is half you. So get with the picture, or guess what? You might not have a relationship with your grandson either.
I fully agree with you.
Yeah. I'm pissed.
I can see that.
Yeah. Couples therapy too. I think, you know, having a therapist, someone who's neutral,
I think if she
facilitate
has
this combo.
I think her conversation simply with her husband, period. And that's, and see where it goes at that point.
Yeah. But I think couples therapy could really help get them on the same page and maybe highlight the fact that, you know, you are a partner to mm-hmm. this person next to you. You have a child together. Why are you letting your parents disrespect her, talk bad about her? You know, the way she's being used as a scapegoat right now, mm-hmm. he's allowing that too.
Right. But do you think that she has also the ability of having this conversation with him right from the beginning and say, what are your thoughts on this? And
of course, you can always talk to your partner. But sometimes our people don't understand when it comes from just our point of view. So I think a therapist could really, really help bring in that third party neutral take and facilitate a conversation of maybe there's more understanding, maybe there's healthy ways to go about this, you know, mm-hmm. confrontation with his parents and facilitating a relationship. Love therapy.
Let us know how you do.
Yeah, keep us posted.
But I definitely believe that you are in no wrong here, period.
No, not at all. Another one of this week's partners is Factor. We just moved into our new house and I don't even have pots and pans yet. So being stressed, trying to eat healthy has been really challenging until my Factor order got dropped off. They are healthy, delicious meals that are ready to eat in just about 2 minutes. And they're healthy, they're dietitian approved, and they come in a variety of options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto to fit my needs. As I share this episode, I've been dealing with some health stuff, and these are meals that fit really well with trying to work on my health, eat right, balanced meals, good portions. I feel good after eating these meals and like I'm making good choices, because when you're busy and stressed, cooking can be challenging. Getting something delivered to your door that's ready to go is so ideal. So if you're ready to try for yourself, head to factormeals.com/FKS50 and use code FKS50 to get 50% off. That's code FKS50 at factormeals.com/FKS50 to get 50% off. Links in the description. This next one, Dear Dad, Morgan, and Justin, this is a heavy one. And I'm not sure if it's been covered before on Father Knows Something with this context, but it's something that's just been deeply weighing on my mind in the past few months. I honestly hesitate to write this because I don't want to bring anyone else down the rabbit hole with me.
Well, there's no backing out now. We got it.
We got it. Although I know we all experience this at some point. The topic, death. What advice I'd like, I guess, is how to deal with death anxiety. I'm a 28-year-old female. I know I'm still young. I know all of the logical things I should tell myself. Everyone dies. Live life to the fullest. Hold your loved ones close. But for some reason, I cannot stop thinking about death. My death, my loved ones, fear of growing old, fear of outliving my family members, fear of losing my significant other at a young age. I'm not entirely sure what brought this wave of panic on, but the only thing I can come up with is that my fiance and I had a baby about 6 months ago. I also have a son from a previous, very tumultuous relationship. I was 17 when I gave birth. I think I'm in literal shock. Realizing how quickly my older son's 10 years have gone by, I feel that time is slipping away. By the time my second son is 10, my oldest will be 20. These thoughts are terrifying me. I feel like as hard as I try, I cannot redirect my thoughts. Nothing works. I look at my children and feel heartbroken at the thought of them ever feeling this way. Or anyone feeling this way. Does this ever get better? I read this happens in your 20s and again around your 50s for women. Does this get better with age? I'm terrified it'll get worse.
This is a good conversation, especially with you and me.
I hate thinking of death. It's something I think about daily too. I mean, it's there. It's there, and I'm trying to get positive with it and redirect my thoughts, but it is very challenging. It's something I'm going to be working with a therapist on. I obviously know self-diagnosing is never good, but there's a lot of conversations to be had about the constant thoughts of death and mental health diagnoses like OCD. So there's a lot going on here. And you just had a baby. You know, you could be dealing with postpartum anxiety disorder. So my first advice would be time to talk to a mental health professional. It's a tough one. It is. Death fucking sucks and it's tough.
So I don't approach this. You are very accurate. There are many ways of approaching this and where it comes from.
Yeah.
And far as even your own mental health. Now, I grew up and my outlook on death is different than being worried about it, because I've always been a person that I don't like to take a day and not live the day fullest. I'm an optimist. I look at all the positive things in life, no different than our first story. I was trying to go to the positive side of where we are. That's just the person who I am.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I also recognize, and we should all probably come to terms, we are not in total control of our life and how long we get to go. We do the best we can to live it. We try to be healthy. But when whatever circumstance that the universe presents something, or a life circumstance issues something, or a guy runs an intersection or something else happens, it's out of our control. Because if it was in our control, it would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
We would block it and we would jump the other direction. So all that said, I'm going to tell you this, and Morgan knows this, and I've certainly said this on a few other episodes. I grew up in a household with a guy who feared death more than life itself.
Yeah.
My father could not accept death. And I think it probably all either stemmed from being in the army and experiencing it in Germany, or experienced it when his mom passed away at a young age, when he was probably 20, I think he was 33, which is not much different than the age I was when my dad died. He died when I was 30. Mm-hmm. Now that I put all this perspective, the thing that happened with me is when I witnessed his body at a morgue or at a mortuary, and it was a private moment with his body and me. I came to terms that he was no longer there. That was simply the vessel. And I was able to feel his existence within the air that was around, not focused on what I was looking at on a table. And I came to terms that we are all here. Justin makes jokes. Are you going to come back and visit me when you're gone? I don't have fear of being gone. I just feel in my heart, in my experience of life and death, that we go to a different existence, and that that energy is one with the universe. And we experience a positive energy of watching whoever was special to us in their souls. They may take a different, eventually we all take a different shape. I don't know what that shape is. I'm not that clever. No one brought me into the fold of the biggest secret, but I do know that we certainly go to a different existence. So the point of all this gibberish that I'm gibbering is that we do have to live today for today, love who we have with us today, and know that we set the people that are our children up, that they will have friends, they will have loving siblings, they will have family around them, and that they will be able to fly when we are no longer around the nest. So the fact that you have two children that are 10 years apart, make sure that they learn to love one another the best you can. Provide that display that they themselves will never think of having life without supporting one another, that you know that they'll be able to fly. Give them all the love that you can give them today, not knowing that they'll be around tomorrow. Live the best life you can with them. Don't look at an experience that you may not want to do as a dread, I got to go do this with them. Look at it that this may be the last experience you get to have with them. So look at everything that you get to enjoy, that you've enjoyed it to the fullest, and that you had that experience with your children and your friends and your family. One day, Morgan doesn't want to face this music.
Mm-mm, I sure don't.
That I'm going to be gone, but I will still be within her. Everything that I do that pisses her off today, she will laugh about tomorrow, because I can do that with my parents. I look at the stuff they did and I shake my head and I go, how absolutely angry I was with this thing. And I laugh about it. I go, wow, I can laugh about it today.
Yeah.
And I miss it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it sucks, but you know, it's one of those things I'm trying to reframe. Like, I'm lucky to have, I just hate talking about it. I'm the same way. I'm just right there with you. But I'm trying to reframe and I get to have that time. It's, you know, it's good, but it's hard. And I really do want medication for it, because holy shit, if this is what everyone deals with, but no, I really think there's, you know, a certain form of OCD that you just think about death nonstop. And like when Barbie came out and it was like the irrepressible thoughts of death Barbie, I was like, oh my God, I feel so seen. That's me. And I'm working on it. You know, you keep me posted. If you work on it and you go to therapy and you find something that works, let me know, because it is really tough, but we get through it. And I think just keep your loved ones close, build your circle, and that's all you can do. It's ahead of us. It's guaranteed. Life, death, taxes.
That's it. You can't escape it. It's part of life. It's part of what makes us who we are in our existence. So
yeah.
Don't fight the water. Just swim with the current.
Yeah. Okay, moving along before I really break down on cry.
And I got to get her to the part where she can accept this thing, because she's just not there.
No. I never will be. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Well, I'm 66. I'm pushing for your 100, but everywhere in the middle, just know that I love you and that we have a great time. And yes, you do want to, you know, wring my neck a lot.
Not a lot, just some days.
Today, this morning.
Just some days.
Most every day.
Just no.
Guys, most every day.
No, just some days. It's, you know, everyone has those days. It's just, it is what it is. But I love you, and here we are.
We are. Let's go on to number 5.
Read another story.
This is the grand finale for the day. Let's go for it. Pull the trigger.
The grand finale.
Well, this is number 5. We go for 5.
Yeah. I, female 27, want to propose to my girlfriend, female 27, and I am losing it. Hi, Morgan, Justin, Jerry, Holly, and any other potential guests. I've binged both podcasts and could really use y'all's outside advice on this. I want to propose to my girlfriend. We've been together for 4 years now, and she is my absolute world. I know I want to spend the rest of my life with her, and I know she wants to spend hers with me. The thing is, I expected to be anxious once this started to get real, but the stress is so much it's physically affecting me. Breakouts, heart palpitations, stress poops, the works. I already have a couple of obstacles. We have a trip planned soon, and it's the perfect opportunity to plan a surprise and pop the question. The trip coincides with the off-season of our destination, which makes it less crowded and more affordable. But as I keep digging deeper and deeper and the days go by, my dream proposal trip seems less and less feasible. As unexpected bills have popped up, I can't comfortably go out of my way financially to make this trip happen in the way I've always imagined. Regardless of if this is the proposal trip or not, my girlfriend will be contributing financially. She has planned to, wants to, and insists on it. I feel terrible about not being able to pull it off alone. I don't want her to pay for her own proposal trip. It just doesn't feel right. Even if I try to save and wait, I don't feel confident I will be able to take her on the trip of our dreams without her financial contribution. Another issue is the people I involve. I don't know what to tell everyone in our lives. It's easy to say, quote, it's our moment, it doesn't involve them. But I know there will be some hurt feelings from close friends and family that they weren't let in on the surprise. I don't want any more spoilers. I was put on the spot when asking for her parents' blessing, and it was so awkward and embarrassing. And I definitely don't want anyone I know breathing down my neck. We also usually hang out with our friends multiple times a week, and I just don't want to anymore. I want to enjoy being engaged. I want to be a real adult. I have a house and soon to be fiance and a whole zoo of pets to take care of. We have agreed that we just want to spend time investing in our own little family. On top of that, I'm not sure how much support I will get from my side of the family. They have chosen to see my girlfriend as some, quote, platonic life partner or something. A couple members even still to her as a couple of family members even still refer to her as my friend. My girlfriend sees how stressed I am and she's worried about me. I keep telling her it's just life stuff or PMS, but she knows me too well. I just want some advice on how to navigate all of these moving parts. Am I overthinking all of this? How should I set boundaries with our families and friends? Am I rushing this and pushing myself too far? Sorry for the rant. I am so overwhelmed and scattered right now. Thank you for all that you do. I feel seen in many of the stories you share and love hearing y'all's advice. I can't wait to hear what metaphors Jerry comes up with if you choose to read this on the show.
Well, we're choosing to read it on the show.
This is a good one.
That ship has now left the dock.
She gone.
So you want to pipe in first? You want me to run with it?
You can. Yeah, you take it away.
Well, a lot of this, it's interesting because I know what I went through watching Justin go through a lot of this.
Yeah, he went through it.
Okay.
Poor guy.
And the end, I'm going to start with this. This is your and your girlfriend's engagement, period. It's our engagement, you and her. That's the hour. Has nothing to do with anybody else's. It's going to be special to the us that you and her to begin with. You don't have to appease anybody. If you feel that she feels that she wants to participate in this trip that you guys are going to do, what you do with it, it's still us.
Mm-hmm.
I say go for it. Don't worry about all the other stuff. If you guys are sharing the expense to give her an experience of the lifetime that you think it's going to be, great. Some people are just happy to go take a paper bag, put two sandwiches, go to a park, lay down a welcome mat or a blanket of some type and just say, will you marry me? And that's enough for them to go, wow, because they've been waiting for that moment. They don't care about all the showmanship that goes along with it. They just care for what the words mean and the commitment that you're going to be together for life. The rest is all frosting on the cake.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's really about the cake. It's not about the frosting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about my own proposal and Justin and I we went to Paris right before and then we ended up going to Duluth and we had a live show in Minnesota. And so we both paid for the trip. And honestly, it didn't cross my mind or was not even a consideration until reading this story. I didn't think, oh, well, technically I paid for my proposal trip back to Minnesota. No, Justin still went above and beyond putting the proposal together. You don't nickel and dime life. This is your partner. You're not, keeping receipts for everything and, oh, I paid for my proposal, so what? That doesn't matter. You're going on this amazing trip together. And you're even saying, I won't be able to financially do this again for a while. This is your shot. Don't stress about it. Just do it.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So the fact, Justin really went overboard to make sure that we were all there to witness this and to see it happen. I have to tell you, as a dad, and Justin came to me before and said, how are you okay with me being your son-in-law or to that extent? I'm going to share with you this thought. I don't care if Justin took her to the backwoods without anyone knowing. Got on a stump, put on a frog costume and said, kiss me, and then ripped it off and became a prince and said, will you marry me?
Yeah.
And heard about it later. And then he came to me and said, I just want you to know, I asked Morgan to marry me. And she said, I said, yes, but are you okay with it too? Either way, whatever you do with her family, it's nice that that you include them at one point or another. It doesn't have to be before, and you don't have to put on a show for everybody to be there. This is an intimate moment between you and her, and end of story.
Well, and my advice would be don't involve anyone else. Have it be just the two of you and a photographer or someone with an iPhone in a bush recording. Wherever you go on your vacation, there's always photographers in those cities. You can find them on Get Your Guide, Airbnb, Experiences. Hire a photographer and make it look like they're just there at the spot taking nature pics or scenic shots. And then all of a sudden, they get the picture for you.
Don't they have these devices also that you can actually...
You can set up a tripod.
With a little button.
You can do whatever. But my advice would be keep it intimate with just you two, because Justin did go above and beyond getting everyone there, but there were people that were forgotten about and it created issues. And so it's one of those things, like if you invite one person, someone else is going to be unhappy. You're never going to be able to accommodate everyone. And the reality is it's not about anyone but the two of you.
It's the us.
It's you guys.
You and us.
So do what makes you happy. I mean, you are clearly stressed and this is a big deal. This is a big, big commitment, but I would do it on this trip. A lot of times I think we just get in our heads about proposals. And before proposing, I would say I talked about on Two Hot Takes, there was a proposal story and I was like, if someone proposed to me that way, I would say no.
This is the gateway to the rest of your life.
Yeah. And like just after, enjoy it. Well, and after being proposed to, I realized I would have been happy with a variety of options, because you do think, like, we were in Paris. I'm like, is he going to propose on our trip? I would have been happy with that. He proposed in Duluth. I was happy with that.
What about the forest with the frog costume ripping it off?
Not the frog costume. No.
You're done with that one?
That would have. No. But there's so many ways you can do it. It's the point of you asking and putting in time and effort and consideration. You know, you asked her parents and it's the rest is, you know, it should be smooth sailing. Don't stress. Don't overthink it. On your family and them calling her your friend, that's something you got to nip in the bud. And if they don't change.
Well, I think they'll get the message when she says we're engaged, we're getting married.
Sometimes homophobes will continue to be passive aggressive.
You know,
it's just the way the cookie crumbles. And you then get to decide if these are people you want in your life, if they're willing to continuously disrespect you.
We live in the world today that you're absolutely able to say when you're a woman that this is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a man, you can say this is my husband. Or if you're...
This is my partner.
My partner. Either way. Well, some people don't... The partner isn't enough where they say this is my wife, because that is the commitment.
Yeah, but there's some people that are non-binary and just prefer this is my life partner. You don't prefer that though.
Right.
You want her to be referred to as your girlfriend or your now fiance or your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be met with people that just aren't willing to hop on board. They're homophobic. They're whatever.
Whatever.
Insert blank here. And you don't deserve that. I mean, think about our friend that hopped on group therapy, Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Archer has family members that still use their dead name. They are just not hopping on board. They are continuously disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just... It is what it is.
So I wish you guys well and a long life together and much happiness. That's the moral.
That's where
I summarize this. And just keep it easy. You know, life is going to give you enough shit just because of life. So don't stress about this one.
No.
Make this easy and sweet. And I am sure even with a blanket, a brown paper bag and 2 P&J sandwiches and a ring, that life will be happy, will be ecstatic, and there's a big hug and kiss waiting for you with a yes.
Yes. And FaceTime, those things exist for a reason. Do it. Make it about you, what you want. you have this amazing trip to then celebrate the whole time mm-hmm. where you don't have to go to work the next day and FaceTime everyone, take a video, send it to them, let them know. But you don't need to make this about other people. It is really about you. And don't stress about the money. Couple candles, flowers, whatever. It doesn't take a lot.
Just remember the US, the us. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's all I got for us.
That's our show for this week. And we look forward. By the time they hear this, you're going to be done with San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle.
Yeah.
And back at home.
Back at home. And then we have Irvine, Los Angeles, a Texas run.
Do I get to do the Irvine and Los Angeles show?
Yeah, you'll be there. It'll be really fun. And I'm so excited to see more of you guys out on tour. And you'll see Dad whenever he gets invited.
Yeah. And you can share that story about flying from Seattle, Washington, back to Los Angeles at a year and a half. It's a great story.
Oh, we've told them. I shit on your head.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Thanks a lot.
I don't remember it.
Bye, everyone. And for those who want to join us on Patreon, come to the backyard. We'll have Patreon.
Yeah. We have a group tea coming up soon. So it'll be a great time to connect. And it's like a group FaceTime with us. We chat, we share our problems, and it's a really good time.
Bring on your stories. If you really want to interact and we can ask the questions as you're doing
that's the time.
This is the event.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.